Afternoon and welcome to today's Community and Regional Affairs hearing. With me today is Senator Kukesh, Senator Wagner, and myself, Senator Olson. On today's agenda, we've got two bills, Senate Bill 223, which is a tax credit for the homeless shelters and detox areas, and then House Bill 264, the municipal property deferral, tax deferral for subdivisions. First, we'll hear from Senate Bill 223. We first heard this bill on March 15th, heard it on the 27th and the 29th, and we'll open it up again for public testimony. Mike Williams from the Tax Division is available for questions, and then we'll look to the will of the committee. With that, you have a brief explanation of the bill. Identify yourself for the record. And
thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, I'm David Scott, Staff of Senator Olson. The bill hasn't changed since last time. The committee did amend it, and we felt that since it was amended, we should allow for the public to review it and then comment. In that time, we've received two letters of support, one from the Covenant House and the other one from the Alaska Network on Domestic Violence. I asked them to try to be able to comment today, and they were all very busy and they weren't able to call in. I can go over the bill again on what it did, but we've gone several times on the record.
Sure. But one more time, with just one or two sentences. I want to welcome Senator Menard.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Yes, sir. Mr. Chairman, the bill allows for a tax credit to a business that pays the state income tax up to 50% of a sizable credit, up to $200,000. If they donate to a homeless shelter or an alcohol and drug detox facility. We changed the bill to this tax credit is only available for those nonprofits that are established on July 1st this year, so that we don't have, it's not the intent of the bill for new nonprofits to start springing up across the state. We put a five-year sunset on it so that the future legislature can evaluate the program and see if it works or not. We did a five-year sunset.
Okay.
We changed a little bit of language for on reporting to the legislature on who gets the credit. In the original bill, we had it, the onus on the nonprofits. We changed it so that the onus is now with the department. The department will tell the legislature what to do. And that right there was a little bit of a rub with certain nonprofit agencies, but we changed it, and they're happy with it now.
Okay. Thanks for that abbreviated update. Do we have any questions by members of the committee for Mr. Scott?
No.
If not, we'll open up to public testimony. First, we have Bridie Trainer from Nome. Bridie, are you on, ma'am?
Hello, yes, I am.
Please identify yourself for the record and go with your testimony.
My name is Bridie Trainer. I'm director of Quirk Wellness. I'm testifying on behalf of Quirk Incorporated and the Regional Wellness Forum. A letter in support of this bill was sent by the Regional Wellness Forum as well. First, I'd like to thank Senator Olson and members of the Senate Committee and Regional Affairs Committee for introducing Senate Bill 223. Throughout Alaska, inpatient alcohol, drug treatment, and detox facilities are at capacity with long waiting lists that are often discouraging to a person's decision to seek treatment. The tax credit bill is an excellent way for the state to increase funding for these services. A regional hospital is constantly helping patients who should either be referred to a detox center or admitted to an inpatient treatment facility, but are instead sent to jail as a temporary holding facility. Since 2000, when our treatment center closed, the number of alcohol-related visits to the emergency room doubled. In 2008, there were 332 ambulance calls in Nome, 57% of which were alcohol-related. The only option our region has for detox is for the Nome Police Department to continue responding. In 2009, 3,499 patients were seen in the emergency room. Of those, 18% had a primary diagnosis related to alcohol or other substance abuse. On an annual basis, 26% of the patients admitted to the hospital had an alcohol abuse withdrawal diagnosis. After they are medically cleared, they are released, and there is no residential treatment for them to enter. Services to address the homeless population in Nome and throughout Alaska are also needed. In Nome, many people have died of exposure where alcohol was determined to be involved. The Nome Emergency Shelter Team, NEST, began as a volunteer effort that provides emergency shelter in Nome. Last winter, they had 42 guests over a period of 22 days. Since June 2009, 12 homeless individuals have died in Anchorage. The passage of this bill is much needed throughout Alaska. QUERC and the Regional Wellness Forum would be grateful for the passage of Senate Bill 223. Thank you.
Any questions of Ms. Trainor by members of the committee? If not, Bridie, thank you for coming out this afternoon.
Thank you.
Otherwise, the only other person we have online is Mike Williams from the Department of Revenue there in Anchorage. We're answering any questions that we have and how it affects us. Mr. Williams, I was just wondering what it does from the state standpoint as far as what does it do to the coffers?
Mr. Chairman, this is Michael Williams, Alaska Department of Revenue. The fiscal note would be undetermined at this time. It would be based on whatever corporations would decide to give to these nonprofit organizations, and so it's somewhat indeterminate as to how much may be given by anyone to any one group.
Okay. And what is the anticipation by the Department of Revenue, say, in 5 years?
I hesitate to speculate on that. I think on behalf of the Department of Revenue, we'd have to get back to you on that. And when we have the this draft version that I've been given was draft E, as my understanding, that's what's being discussed. And we have not prepared a fiscal note on that because we just received that one today.
I would anticipate it would be negligible if realizing that the size of the state's budget is pretty significant.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, the department sees that we would be able to administer the provision under currently existing budgets and staff, so it would be a zero fiscal note on terms of cost. We just have not prepared an estimate yet on revenue impact.
Oh, okay. Mr. Williams, thank you very much for coming out this afternoon.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Any closing comments, Mr. Scott?
Mr. Chairman, there's a problem in Alaska with homelessness and chronic inebriates. It doesn't just happen in Anchorage or Fairbanks and Juneau. It happens all over. And if this could help in any way, it's not the intent to push this bill so that the state doesn't address it further. But we want to try to bring in philanthropic tendencies of major companies and see if they could help out too.
Okay. There's no further question by members of the Senator Menard.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I would just like to say that it affects all of us, everyone in this committee room, and what it affects is our heart. We've often been put in the position where maybe we could help the homeless, or, you know, you walk away from that inebriate, or I was, like I said, very involved in the detox center in Anchorage through Salvation Army. And it's almost insulting when we want to know how much are we going to save. I was so glad that he said it's indeterminate right now. They can't really come up with that. But here is a chance for all of us to get behind a bill and at the end of our lives saying, yes, we really did. It did affect us. It affected our heart.
Okay. Any further comments or questions by members of the committee? If not, what's the role of the committee? Senator Thomas Wagner.
Mr. Chairman, I would move CS for Senate Bill number 223, 30. Community Regional Affairs /E, with individual recommendations and fiscal note to the next committee of referral.
Any objection to moving on? Okay, passing those.
Donald Olson.
Yeah. He threw me after that special orders about 3 years ago. We'll take it at ease here. Bill 264. Kathy Munoz will present the bill. We'll go into public testimony and set the bill aside for further review. Report. Senator Munoz.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. It's a pleasure to be here today. Before you is House Bill 264. House Bill 264 will give municipalities the option of providing incentives to develop land for housing. By deferring for up to 5 years, the property tax increase, which is directly attributable to the subdivision of a piece of land into three or more parcels. The measure would give municipalities the flexibility to defer increases in property taxes on subdivided parcels until a lot is sold or until a residential or commercial building is constructed on a plot of land. Currently, when a developer does the surveying and platting and submits the paperwork to the city or to the municipality, as soon as that plat is approved, the property taxes go through the roof without any work initiated actually on the parcel of land. So it's a real disincentive, especially in places that have a limited land base for development. And in this community, we have a very low vacancy factor for rental units, and very few affordable houses are on the market. This measure would be a tool for the municipality to encourage development by deferring for up to 5 years the property tax increase directly attributable to the subdivision of land. Again, it's optional. The municipality has the flexibility to make it for 2 years or 5 years. They could apply it to all or a portion of the subdivision. We've tried to work in as much flexibility into the legislation as possible. And by doing so, I think we have very broad support for the legislation. In your packet are letters from home builders across the state. We also have support from the Alaska Realtors Association, the Alaska Association of General Contractors, the Juneau Affordable Housing Commission, and many other organizations. Online is Steve Van Sant, the state assessor, to answer specific questions that you may have. And also here in the room are two local builders from Juneau that I would like to have an opportunity to speak to the bill. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Senator Menard.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Representative Munoz, in our packets from February 13th, we have a letter from AML that says that they are opposed to this bill. Has anything changed since you've worked the process through?
Yes.
And I apologize if there's another letter that came after that one. I just don't have it in my packet. But I have a wonderful staff.
Representative Munoz, would you mind commenting on the opposition?
Yes, they are neutral. We've worked with AML to craft the legislation to, as I said, to build in as much flexibility as possible. Again, it's an optional deferral. It's not a mandatory deferral. It's a deferral. It's not an exemption. And by being a deferral, the AML, again, is neutral on the provision, on the legislation.
Follow-up, Senator Menard?
Yes, thank you. Follow-up. So if I understand this right, they were in opposition, but you've worked with them, and that work is called a deferral, so they can choose to go with this law or not, as far as a municipality.
Right. Well, originally, it was always our intent to make the legislation, to structure it as a deferral. But in the original title, the original title had exemption in the title. And generally, AML is opposed to most bills that exempt property taxes, either through optional or mandatory basis. But since this is a deferral, again, they withdrew the objection, and now they're neutral on the legislation.
Any further questions by members? Oh, I'm sorry, Senator Menard.
I would just note then that as you work the bill through, and I don't know how many more committees, maybe this is the last committee before it goes, that they would revise their, because it's very pointed in that last sentence for this, the members of AML are opposed to this bill. So I think if they have made concessions, if you will, it would be nice, because of course that's the municipalities all over the state of Alaska. They represent a lot of people that we want to pay attention to and contend with.
I agree. Thank you.
Senator Wagner.
Well, it's not clear to me, reading the bill, as to who will pay back the deferred taxes. Will it be the developer or the purchaser?
Representative
Munoz.
Thank you. It's the responsibility lies with the developer.
So the developer is the one that is on the hook for the property taxes if they're due to the municipality?
That's correct. And that when the lot sells, then the property tax deferral is due.
And so it's put on the back of the purchaser?
It becomes part of the carrying cost for the development of the land. As it is currently, the developer, when they subdivide a parcel of land, before any work happens, the property taxes become part of the carrying cost for that development. This allows the developer to move forward with the development without the additional carrying cost of those ongoing property tax increased assessments, mm-hmm. so that there's more likelihood of more development happening in the communities. But ultimately, it's the developer that is responsible for the property tax.
Okay. Follow-up, Senator Wagner. Senator Menard.
So this will be for 4 years, and the main theme of this is to spur development, mm-hmm. correct? And it's correct to say that they're not going to skip out of this entirely. Once it's paid, then they will have to go, what was deferred, they will have to make up, the developer.
That's right. It's an optional provision for up to 5 years. It could be for 4 years, as you suggested, or it could be for less. It could be for all of the parcels within that subdivision or a portion of the parcels.
May I have a follow-up?
Senator Menard, please.
Who decides if it's for all of them or a portion?
Representative Munoz.
Thank you. It's done by ordinance at the municipality level.
Okay. Another follow-up, please?
Senator Menard, please.
Was that something that municipalities came up with then as part of your negotiating on the more opposed letter that they sent?
No, it's typical for a property tax exemption or a deferral in this case to, if it's optional, it must be instigated by the municipality through ordinance.
Any further questions? I'm sorry, Senator Kukesh.
Where'd you get the number 3 that it has to divide into 3 parcels? Even if it's a really small one, somebody forces to put a really small parcel together.
Thank you, Senator.
How does that work?
The reason we chose 3 is we didn't want to create the situation where an individual was subdividing their parcel into 2 lots and then holding the second lot undeveloped and then having some opportunity to have a deferment of property tax liability on that second lot. That we were intending to apply this legislation to subdivisions that increase affordable housing, increase housing stock in the community.
So, excuse me, hold on.
Senator Kukesh, please.
So when you divide it only 2, you don't consider that a subdivision. But if you divide into 3, then you consider it a subdivision.
Representative Munoz.
Thank you. For the purpose of this legislation, we're interested in 3 lots or more to avoid a homeowner from subdividing a lot and then holding the second lot undeveloped and taking advantage of this program.
I see.
So they'd be gaming the legislation.
We would hope to avoid that.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Thank you.
Any further questions by members of the committee?
Just for some research, and you can get this to my office anytime. I'm just wondering, how many Alaskans, and this is a lot of homework, would have like 5 acres? Because that's kind of like the Alaskan dream. And 5 acres, you know, if you had half-acre lots, you know, that's 10. I'm just struggling to know. To me, a subdivision is like, you know, you have a minimum of 20 acres or, you know, because there's a lot of infrastructure that has to go in. So,
mm-hmm. Representative Munoz?
You know, I can't speak to the number of parcels this would affect, but I can say that in communities across Alaska, the circumstances are very different. Some areas have large land bases, others do not. A community like Juneau has a very limited land base. So we're trying to encourage more development of our limited land base.
Okay. One of the questions that I have is how would it affect second class cities where you don't necessarily have a property tax?
The legislation is written to still apply, but the deferral is subject to the building of a house or a commercial building where a permitting agency does not have authority. So if there's not planning and zoning authority, the exemption ends, or the deferral, rather, ends at the point that a property is developed.
So if you're in a borough...
Or sold.
If you're in a borough, as opposed to in an unorganized borough, what's the difference there, or would there be one?
Well, as I said, in areas, the difference being in some areas there is planning and zoning permitting authority, and others may not have permitting authority. Okay. But in those jurisdictions where there's not a permitting authority, we put in a provision that would have the deferral end when a house was built or when a lot was sold.
Okay. Okay. If there's no further questions of Bill Sponsor, we'll go ahead and go to public testimony.
Okay.
First, we have Daryl Bourne from Fairbanks. Mr. Bourne, are you on, sir?
Yes, I am.
Please identify yourself for the record and go ahead with your testimony.
Thank you. My name is Daryl Bourne. I represent the Alaska State Home Builders Association, and I am the president of the Interior Alaska Building Association. I'm a 30-year Fairbanks building contractor, and I support HB 264. I am a partner in a 52-acre subdivision on a paved road 10 minutes drive from Fairbanks, and is located between the highway on the south and the Chena River on the north. All the roads and most of the power were completed 5 years ago. There are 18 river lots, and our goal was not to sell these individual lots, but use them as inventory for new homes packages. In 07, we subdivided 10 lots on a cross street that travels through the subdivision. Our intention was to build on each of these 10 lots and then subdivide 10 more as they sold. The reason was to not have to pay the higher tax on the individual lots. In 09 and 2010, the local new home market started into a steady decline. In the 5 years, we have only sold 3 homes. And this is directly attributed to the flat market that we have here, in economy here in Fairbanks. Excuse me. So we kind of have, there's two different types of buyers that we face with. Some of these buyers are on a fixed income and they want an economical home, but they aren't real particular about where it is. And then there's others that want to live on the Chena River. The extra cost is not a factor. And they, even in a tight building market, in the last 5 years, I've missed 5 or 6 new sales on the river simply because we hadn't subdivided those lots yet. Right now, I have 2 people that are waiting. If this bill passes, they would probably build yet this summer. If our borough would adopt this amendment as proposed, the Fairbanks North Star borough, that is, we could move forward easily to provide a home for sale to these people. I have the passage of this bill would be a great thing for Fairbanks builders and developers, and it would also have a positive effect for our local governments. Our North Star borough would now have at least several more upper-end homes to include in their tax base. As it is, they only have the raw land to tax, and I am out. My business is out the sales that we could have had. This bill could be a key to breaking up a financial logjam. I support it. I think it would be good to make a move on this and help our communities to recover. So I support House Bill 264. Thank you.
Do we have any questions of Mr. Bourne by members of the committee? Senator Menard.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Bourne. I'm trying to decide if you're talking about a spec home or a custom home.
Mr. Bourne?
We are not building spec homes. The banks aren't really open to that right now. So we're talking about custom homes, but people come to me. We work with one buyer this summer that's having trouble qualifying. But what we're, there are people that can qualify for homes, but they don't want these homes on the 10 lots that we have subdivided. But just a block away on the river are some are some additional lots that are not so divided. And I'm just suggesting that the passage of this bill would make it possible for me to subdivide four or five lots on the Chena River, sell two of them, and have up to 5 years to sell the other three, and not have to immediately pay the upper higher taxes.
Follow-up, Senator Menard? One of the questions, Mr. Bourne, I have for you, are there developers out there that are on the borderline where they'd be going bankrupt if this bill didn't go through?
I cannot speak to that. I don't know. I think that a lot of the builders and new homes are suffering somewhat. I mean, it's been 3 or 4 years, at least 3 years, of declining markets. This year, from talking to the builders that I'm associated with, this year is probably the toughest that we've seen in recent years. So I think that this bill would directly affect me, would affect one or two other people that are in our association.
Okay. Senator Menard.
Is it not true that a big piece of the building going south is the high energy? I know my son lives in Fairbanks. He's paying $1,300 a month for his heating bill. And is that figured in? Is it a true statement to say that that also factors into why people aren't building right now up in Fairbanks?
Mr. Bourne?
Well, of course it does. You're right. In my situation, people that want to build on a river lot, which is what I'm trying to advocate here, is that, you know, these are going to be high-end homes anyway, and they will probably get a partial loan, if any, to pay for it. So I don't think it's going to be a factor. You know, they just want to live in a certain location. So in my situation, it would help.
Any further questions? Not. Thank you very much for coming out this afternoon, Mr. Bourne.
Thank you.
Next we have David Owens. From Palmer, Mr. Owens, are you on, sir?
Yes, sir, Mr. Chairman. This is Dave Owens from sunny Palmer, Alaska, I might add. Thank you for hearing my testimony today. I'm also the owner of Owens Inspection Services in Palmer, and I'm here representing the Alaska State Home Builders Association. We are here in support of House Bill number 264. And I think the folks that spoke before me have covered the points. It is very expensive to develop property, and you know, it makes sense to develop a whole subdivision at one time. If you have to do it in little pieces, it's very difficult. And I think that's the point that Darrell was trying to make. If you can get a deferral on the taxes and just pay the lower rate for a while until the lots are sold, it's a real benefit to encourage these developers to go ahead and do the whole subdivision instead of, you know, 5 lots here and 10 lots there. And I recommend you support this and move it forward. Thank you.
Any questions of Mr. Owens by members of the committee? If not, Mr. Owens, thank you very much for coming out this afternoon.
Thank you.
Next we have Charles Edwardson from Ketchikan. Mr. Edwardson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. My name is Charles Edwardson. I'm a general contractor from Ketchikan, Alaska. I'm also a workforce development director for Ketchikan Indian Community and currently the State Home Builders Association president. I'd like to thank the Community and Regional Affairs Committee for their hard work and their consideration of House Bill 264. I'm in favor of it. Ketchikan Indian Community is currently developing 15,000 square foot city lots. They're to be used in conjunction with the construction technology course I'm developing here in Ketchikan for training specifically. In the next few years, it's going to be property that will be used to address affordable housing for all Alaskans. And if our municipality chooses to adopt this HB 264 or the provisions it provides, this will provide a comfort zone for my corporation to perhaps accelerate our development. I'd like to personally thank Representative Munoz for her vision, and it's encouraging to see legislation such as this that recognizes the need to leave this type of decision up to each municipality, and I think that's an important note that we've got to remember. And it gives us the option here in Ketchikan of using this as a tool, this tax deferral as a tool, and as encouragement to developers to invest with probably a little less apprehension, potentially, in my opinion, using the capital traditionally used for increased property tax for accelerated development. Again, I'd like to thank you for your time, and I'll be brief, and just like to speak in favor of HB 264. Again, thank you all for your hard work. I know you guys are getting near the end, and we're all pulling for it. Thanks again.
Any questions of Mr. Edwardson by members of the committee? If not, thank you very much for coming out this afternoon.
This is,
I'm sorry, Senator Wagner.
This is Senator Wagner. Where do you see the end of this?
Mr. Edwardson?
How you doing?
Good.
I'm just pulling for you guys. I'm here supporting you. I know you're working your butts off, and we really appreciate your time from a home builder's perspective to consider this.
Good to hear from you.
Just trying to make a little light of your situation up there.
Thanks for coming out this afternoon, Mr. Edwardson. Next we have in the room Bruce Griggs. Mr. Griggs, please come up and identify yourself for the record and go to the testimony.
Mr. Chairman, Senators, Bruce Griggs. I'm from Juneau, Alaska here. I'm here to speak in favor of HB 264. the reason I felt I needed to come in and testify is it affects me personally and my family, this bill. And I'd like to give some real-world layman-type examples. I've been developing land in this area for 15 years. My current subdivision that I have right now is a 7-acre subdivision out by McDonald's. It's a smaller subdivision, has 7 lots. I started that subdivision 6 years ago thinking that it would take 2 years to sell. It usually generally takes a year to get permits and actually put the infrastructure in on something like this, and then hopefully a year or so to sell them. Well, the economy again got us, and the example I wanted to share is the property tax on that raw piece of land originally was approximately $1,000 a month. Well, as soon as we platted the property, before we turned a piece of dirt, before we got to do anything, the property taxes on that went to approximately $3,500 a month. So we were paying that increased property tax value before we were even put our infrastructure in, so for a full year before we could even get the lots on the market. As of date right now, I figured that we have paid an additional $62,000 in property taxes on that one parcel. That's one example, and I'd like to give another example on a future development that I have spent a considerable amount of money getting engineered and platted on paper. I'm afraid to submit it and go for the permits because of these reasons. Right now, that piece of property, it's a larger subdivision, will be a 75 lot, more of an affordable housing subdivision. Smaller lots, 8,000 to 10,000 square feet, just what is needed in this town right now. Right now, the property taxes on that piece of property are approximately $1,100 a month. Well, due to the fact that there's so many lots and they're worth so much more, according to whoever decides this sort of thing, the property taxes on that piece of property, before we turn a piece of dirt, put the road in, do anything, will increase to around $6,000 a month. Over a year, just before we can sell, you can't sell a lot until you put the infrastructure in Juneau. So that alone is, you know, close to $75,000 in increased taxes for nothing. I mean, we could use that money to put a park in or something else, you know, but instead this money is poof, it's out the door, it's taxes, and who knows where it goes once it gets into the city coffers. So And the reason why we're not moving ahead is, if you do the math, if we can't sell all these lots within a 5 or 6 year period, I mean, the number's astronomical. So we're just sitting there afraid to move ahead. So that's my story.
With these kind of variables that are out there, especially that are sounding expensive, how do you stay in business?
That's an excellent question. We actually had a carrot one time where we did a subdivision 5 or 6 years ago that we just hit it right, and we got the permits, developed it, and sold it all within a year, and it was actually a home run. And so it was like, hey, you know, let's do this again. I guess I did make the right decision on dropping out of college and doing this dirt work thing. So, and then since then, you know, we moved into this other subdivision that I just described, and the market dropped, and we couldn't sell it. And, you know, we've actually since, you know, in the last couple of years, we've sold most of it off now. So we're only sitting on one more lot. But that one lot, which is like a fifth of the size of the original plat, the property tax on that one lot is more than the original property tax for the whole 7 acres was. And this is a one-acre lot. So, I mean, it just seems crazy to me that the government can do that.
Is there no sympathy within the powers that be?
I'm not feeling it. Okay. That's why I'm here talking to you guys today.
Senator Wagner.
So you don't feel the love, huh?
I need the love. Well, Kathy's giving us the love.
This doesn't guarantee you that the borough will change its tax policy.
Well, it's funny you should say that, because the borough has given, I believe there is a letter of support from the borough in the packet that says that they will sign this. And I mean, I've gone to the borough originally, and I actually wrote a letter to the city manager stating what I just told you about this next subdivision, because the city's crying for affordable housing. Mm-hmm. And they're saying, why aren't developers out there giving us affordable housing? We're going to have to do something about it. We're going to have to start developing our own land, which the city's done here, and it was a debacle, if you can imagine. What a surprise. Yeah, and it was a terrible debacle. It cost more money for them to develop it than they actually got out of sales. Mm-hmm. So I answered them saying, you know, they came as a small developer, and a friend of the ex-city manager, he actually said, how come developers aren't doing this? Well, I told him why. And so hopefully, you know, they'll adopt this as well, which they said they would, because otherwise it's not going to change here for affordable housing.
Okay. Any further questions? I'm sorry, Senator Bernard.
Yeah, yes, I have a question I'd like to direct to you. So, of course, the name of the person that pretty much does are the assessors.
Yes.
And then they have an appeal process, because I've gone through this a few times myself. Have you had any luck? Just take that 7-parcel subdivision that you're doing behind McDonald's. Did you try to appeal that? Sometimes I think you can appeal it even up to 2 times.
I actually did appeal it, and that's the appealed price.
So it went from $1,000 to $3,500.
After the, well, it was, I think they dropped it like 15%, so it was actually like $4,200 after we platted the subdivision, before we moved a piece of dirt, before we were able to sell anything. And we went in and tried to argue this point. It's like,
yeah. And you know, I've been through, like I said, this process, and I haven't felt them particularly helpful either. In fact, 2 different times, and of course I was in a quandary because my husband was the borough mayor, and so I'm going to the borough office trying to talk to the assessors, and his argument to me is, well, Linda, would you sell it for that much? And of course I never would. With the, it still was even more valuable. But my point was, each time they found something that maybe they left out on the homestead that they could add, and I mean, it was like, zip it already, I'm gonna, you know. And so you know, I think as citizens, if we go one time and try to plead and give our case, and it's turned down, it really, I hate to say this, but there's an awareness that happens that it could even get worse. And I really hate that going on, but I see that going on all through the state of Alaska.
I feel your pain.
So, Senator Bernard, was there a question in there? Was it more of a...
Yeah.
Well, I just want to get it on record.
I want to give you a hug for that.
It's very truthful what happens. And
it is very truthful.
I even, you know, poor on my part, but I even asked if these assessors got a commission. I would stop right there.
Wow, I like where you're going with this.
Mr. Griggs, thank you very much for coming out this afternoon.
Yes, sir.
Next, we have David Hanna. Mr. Hanna. Identify yourself for the record and go over your testimony.
Mr. Chair, Senators, thank you. My name is Dave Hanna. I'm a fifth generation Juneau small businessman, and I came here to thank you for hearing this bill. I'm here to speak in favor of it. I'd also like to thank Representative Munoz. I've actually been floating this idea out here for over a decade, and she's been the first legislator with the vision and the fortitude to bring it forth and actually make it happen. So we're hoping it will see its way all the way through the process. I think most of you folks realize now how difficult it is for developers to get something done in Alaska, as many parts of Alaska, but not everybody does. There's obvious difficulties, there's obvious costs, there's hidden difficulties and costs, and some of the folks touched on it. The planning, the permitting, the cost of getting surveys and engineering, dealing with the Corps of Engineers, it's monumental. And you can easily spend $100,000 before you even go into your local municipality to see if they're going to approve this subdivision you dreamed up. It takes a long time. It can take a year just to get through that process. And needless to say, in some municipalities, it could take another year bargaining with the municipality to come to an agreement on what sort of subdivision you should build. Mm-hmm. It's a very timely process. It's a very costly process. And I think what you folks probably realize is our business is very cyclical. And so what happens is developers, they're well aware of all these things. They know that our work is very front-loaded. You spend tons of money to even get started, and it can take a couple of years. And then once you are approved to build your subdivision and you record that plat, like Mr. Griggs talked about, all of a sudden your property taxes went from maybe on a some raw land, $5,000 a year to $75,000 a year in property taxes, you still haven't turned a shovel full of dirt. And now you're going to spend, like in a town like Juneau, you can spend $700 to $1,000 per lineal foot to build a street that meets city borough standards for that subdivision. Mm. So we're talking tremendous outlay of revenue here. I mean, it's staggering. And like I say, the industry is cyclical. So what happens is we all realize how much money we're going to spend all the way through the process, and we realize that even once that subdivision's built, we're going to be paying interest on that money we borrowed to build the subdivision, and we're going to be paying a lot of money in taxes. And it makes developers hold back. And what often happens is they hold back long enough that the boom passes them. The real sad story is when the market passes them and they did actually build the subdivision, and then they are sitting on it and they're paying those taxes and they have no sales. What happens often as not is they just don't go forward with the subdivision because they can see that probably the cycle is short-lived. They're just not going to go forward with it because they don't think they can survive that next 3 years of carrying the cost of building the subdivision and paying the property taxes, and we just hold back and we don't do it at all. And so you have a diminished basis of land available for people to build their houses. And that's where I think this bill will really shine, is it will basically, in many instances, it would eliminate half of the cost you would come up with every year to hold on to those lots for a few years until you could get them sold. It wouldn't eliminate it. It would defer it, but it would give you a fighting chance to get your subdivision developed and get some of those lots sold so you could afford to go, you know, carry it and hang on to it. And it would just give you that little comfort level, knowing that you would have a little bit of breathing room there if things went wrong to see it through. And that's the beauty of it. The total flexibility of the municipalities makes it almost no risk. I mean, it's a wonderful tool for municipalities. They can use it as incentives for developers. They can tailor this bill to say, well, we'll offer this deferment, but we'd like to see you maybe tailor your subdivision a little more to the markets we're trying to encourage here in our town. So it gives municipalities a valuable tool in encouraging the kind of developments they'd like to see in their area, and it gives them a great tool for just bringing subdivisions and development online sooner. Thank you.
Any questions of Mr. Hanna by members of the committee? Senator Bernard.
Thank you. I'll be very brief, Mr. Chairman.
We like your questions.
You mentioned holding back, and it's very common practice that you go and you get these line of credits. Have you noticed the banks holding back on your line of credit because of the lack of the building industry, or like you said, the trouble we're in right now with the
Mr. Hanna.
Proposed.
Through the chair, Senator. It's vastly more difficult to get a loan for any sort of speculative venture now, and it's not necessarily the fault of the banks. They're being held to such a higher set of loan-to-value ratios and reporting standards to make those loans that it's very, very difficult for a bank to make a loan these days on a speculative venture.
Qualifying.
Yeah. Senator Bernard, go ahead.
That's why I believe that's another strong argument that we're making here by this discussion, that the line of credit isn't as available at the same amount that it used to be even 5 years ago. So I just wanted to put that on record.
Okay. Any further questions, Mr. Hanna, by members of the committee? No, thank you very much for coming out this afternoon.
Thank you very much.
It's available if you don't need it.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what banks are.
We've finished our people that are out there for public testimony. With that, Representative Munoz, you want to just come with some closing comments before we set the bill aside?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Again, I appreciate you hearing the bill and appreciate all of the folks that came out and testified.
Sure. One of the questions I do have before you have your closing comments is that why can't the borough or the municipality on its own develop or encourage some of these developers to go on by either lowering the tax rate or by even exempting them on their own?
State law requires property to be assessed at fair market value. So as soon as the subdivision is platted, as soon as that plat is approved by the municipality, the municipality is compelled, because of state law, to readjust the price on or the assessment of that parcel before even the work has occurred.
Not only first-class cities.
On wherever there's
property tax.
Property tax, borough, in the organized boroughs.
Okay.
First or second class, Mr. Chairman.
What's that?
First or second class boroughs.
That's correct. Even.
Okay.
All Title 29.
Anyway, go ahead with your closing comments there.
Well, I just wanted to, again, say that I appreciate you hearing the bill. I think it's a good piece of legislation. We've worked very hard to craft it in a way that is very flexible, and we've worked with the municipalities around the state to incorporate any of their concerns. I think, you know, this is where we're at, and we've brought in as many affected parties as possible in this process, and I think we're at a good point. And again, I appreciate you hearing the bill.
Good. Thanks for coming out this afternoon, and thanks for presenting the bill.
Thank you.
There are further questions of the bill sponsor. We just want to announce that the Community and Regional Affairs Committee will meet on Thursday to take up HB9, the interstate gas line. So we'll meet on Thursday here in the Beltram. With that, this meeting is adjourned.